Those of you who are only familiar with Jonah Hill for his roles in Superbad, Forgetting Sarah Marshall, or Get Me to the Greek might be surprised by his work in Moneyball. In it, he plays Peter Brand, a nerdy, number-crunching economist from Yale who's hired by Brad Pitt or Billy Bean of the Oakland A's to turn some of baseball's most beloved tenets on their heads. And his performance has led to an Oscar nomination for Best Supporting Actor. Very pleased that it brings him to our show today. Hello.
Hello.
Have you been surprised by how many people have been surprised by your performance in this film?
No, I think when you come out of the gate as something, that leaves an initial brand or imprint on people's brains of who you are or what you are.
Which is you as a comic actor.
Which is me as a comedic actor. And I don't blame people for listening to their first impression, you know, and I spent a lot of my youth making these films that I felt were very, that I feel were punk rock in spirit and new and exciting, and represented a culture of that time of people in their early 20s, and but that was just kind of the films I was exploring at that time, and now...
Were you exploring them, or were people offering you roles in them?
But they were what I found interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And as you grow and mature, and also, you know, I trained as an actor. I'm not a comedian. I've been in a lot of funny movies, but I'm not a comedian. So, you know, I kind of felt like I had done that. There was no new territory I was exploring in that genre of comedy. So I was like, you know, very eager to say what else is next. How can I stretch? And Bennett Miller, who directed Moneyball, knew that I was eager to do that.
Although I've had so-called serious actors tell me that comedy is the hardest thing to do.
I don't think either. This conversation is so interesting because people say one thing or the other thing is harder, but it's just different. You know, you're just trying to tell a story and play a character, and I love doing them both, honestly. I just genuinely am appreciative that, because I want to be a dramatic actor as well, that I think all this awards stuff adds credibility to further pursuing that.
Well, Brad Pitt has said this about you. We know him as a comedian, but his comedy is grounded in pathos and humanity. Here, he does something we've never seen him do before. He's like a study in reserve. It's a really brave, strong, idiosyncratic performance.
That's very
nice. You have to be pleased. But this wasn't your first serious role. They came in Cyrus.
Yes.
Is it?
A film I'm really, really proud of. I love that movie. And it just was funny because I was expecting all of the attention that I got for Moneyball when I saw Cyrus for the first time. Because I thought that movie was going to get seen by a lot more people than it ended up getting seen by. And I think Mark and Jay Duplass are really delicate. The guys who made that movie, really delicate, emotionally aware filmmakers. And I thought that movie had so much moving emotion in it. And I'm really proud of it. So, you know, it's just a smaller film that not as many people got to see.
And Moneyball's really taken off.
And Moneyball, because of obviously Brad Pitt and a lot of the forces at work, gets seen by a lot more eyeballs than a film like Cyrus.
But it also is something that has a real broad appeal, although I understand Michael Lewis, who wrote the book, thought it could never be translated into a movie.
Yeah, he said to Billy Bean, because I think Billy Bean was nervous about selling the movie rights, you know, about being portrayed on film and all of that. And Michael Lewis said to him, don't worry, they'll never be able to make it into a movie. It's pretty much an unfilmable book. And Michael even said to me that he thought that the movie was not going to end up being good, and how pleased he was with the finished product.
For those who are not knowledgeable about sabermetrics and Bill James, would you explain what Billy Bean and Peter Brand were up to that was so different from the way that baseball teams usually work?
Well, baseball, like a metaphor for many businesses and things, it does seem like a David versus Goliath type of situation where whoever has the most money can buy the best players and win the most games. and sabermetrics, and Bill James was a pioneer in something called sabermetrics, which is really about mostly looking at on-base percentage as a form of choosing players. And if you pick players that get the most on-base percentage, you'll win a lot of games. And on-base percentage is something that doesn't, you know, the flashy players, the people that hit the most home runs, don't necessarily have the best on-base percentage. So my character, Peter Brandon, in Moneyball, and tells Billy Beane, Brad Pitt's character, about this system, which, you know, you can, with a very little amount of money, choose players that get on base and form a team that could win a tremendous amount of games using very little income.
They're not the ones who
comparatively to
become,
like the Yankees.
But
know?
Yeah, they're not the ones who become the superstars. They're just the ones who play the game the way it probably was originally intended. But also a lot of the conventional wisdom of baseball is questioned here, like whether you should have a left-handed pitcher only pitch to left-handed batters, or whether having someone who steals who tries to steal a lot of bases as your leadoff batter, and whether steals are even all that important.
Right. Well, that's the bigger issue, is that stealing bases is a risk of just getting an out, which would be, you know, by this method, kind of seems pointless. You know, seems like it's giving them an out. And what I found really interesting was, when you're a kid and you're drawn to baseball initially, you really like to see home runs, and you really like to see stolen bases, and you like to see flashy, exciting things, because that's why you go buy a jersey, and that's why you're a kid, you fantasize about becoming a baseball player, to be a flashy hero, or at least I did, you know?
And so you were a baseball fan before you got this role?
Yeah, I was. I had sort of lost touch with it over the years, but I grew up playing Little League and having the same American pastime effect that baseball had on me that it had on a lot of young American kids growing up. But I grew up to be more of a rabid basketball fan, actually.
My guest is Jonah Hill, who stars as Peter Brand in Moneyball. He's been nominated for an Academy Award for Best Supporting Actor. And Moneyball has just recently been made available in a Blu-ray DVD combo pack. so you can play it either way. In playing a character like this, is it
when you use the term combo pack with a film that like Bennett Miller made or something? It's just so funny because it sounds like such a product. It really, a combo pack literally sounds like platter, or, you know, it's like a buffet or something. Like,
well,
that.
Yeah, but in this case, you can either play the DVD on a regular older machine, or if you have
Blu-ray, yeah,
you have both of them, or you can give a copy to a friend who has one of the other machines.
I was just sort of laughing at the idea of when you're making a film and trying to make something great, and then you hear the words combo pack don't usually.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like it's M&M's or something.
Well, when you're making a film, when you're making a film, are you even aware of how it's going to be marketed later? Is that a concern of yours? I would assume that it's just simply trying to do the best job you can, hope that the film will become a hit.
I think it's dependent on the film. If I'm a producer of some of the comedy films, I've been more of an architect of those films, like this movie 21 Jump Street I have coming out, or things like that.
Because you're trying to get involved in the writing?
Because I was a writer on it and producer. And when I say architect, I mean someone, who designed what it would be from the beginning steps. And but in a film like Cyrus or Moneyball, where I'm just hired as a dramatic actor, all I really think about or care about is crafting a performance that will please the director and serve the film well.
In 21 Jump Street, your upcoming film, do you have the Johnny Depp part?
No, there are new characters, and some of the old characters might pop up.
Oh, so it's just the title is the same, the sensibility is the same, but this is really not an extension.
No, we made
more
of a
TV series.
It's a popcorn film. It's really like it's like a Bad Boys meets a John Hughes movie, and the idea behind that was the idea I gravitated towards remaking a television series into a film never seemed like a really high creative goal of mine. And I thought that the idea of getting to relive an important time period of your life, thinking you have all the answers and going back and reverting back to the same insecurities you had then, was a fascinating core idea for a movie.
You also, I hear, dreamed of joining the writing team of The Larry Sanders Show.
Yeah, The Larry Sanders Show and The Simpsons.
Which, by the way, is the most accurate show ever about a talk show.
Yeah, I think The Larry Sanders Show is a brilliant piece of work. I think
I shouldn't admit to that, right?
You shouldn't admit to that?
Well, I don't do some of the things Larry Sanders did.
But. Hopefully you're not as fractured of a person as Larry was on the show.
Others have to decide.
Yeah. But I loved the comedy mixed with the darkness of that show, and I thought the humanity and showing people's real ugly sides was something that as a kid I gravitated towards shaping, you know, who I was as a writer.
Now here you play a real life character. Did you have to meet him?
Well, Peter Brand was an amalgamation of a few different characters. Even in the book, they call him Paul D. Podesta, but it was an amalgamation of a few different people who worked for Billy at that time. And I got to spend time with Paul D. Podesta, and he and I are friends, and he, you know, has been vocal after seeing the movie to me about how much he enjoyed it. And I got to learn from people like Theo Shapiro, who ended up taking over the Red Sox and using sabermetrics to break the curse of the Bambino.
One of the reasons Michael Lewis thought that this wouldn't translate well into a film is because of the complications of sabermetrics. Mm-hmm. But this is really about relationships, isn't it?
I think it's about a lot of things.
To a large degree, it's about your relationship, your character's relationship with Billy Bean.
I would say the central relationship of the film is between Billy and Peter. I think they have everything the other one lacks. I always put it as Billy was the bazooka and Peter was the ammunition, and together they burst through a 100-year-old wall of baseball thinking. And Bennett Miller, the filmmaker, I think, really, you know, the director of the movie, really deserves so much of the credit. I think he really made this movie what it was, and there's so many beautiful ideas behind each scene, and I felt so much about each moment that on the surface was about something so incredibly boring to most people.
But it wouldn't have worked if you and Brad Pitt didn't have what they call chemistry.
I would say, yeah. I think the movie, like I said, the central relationship is between the two of us, and, you know, a lot of what we learned from meeting these people was not only were they accomplishing something new and brave together, but there was a real sense of camaraderie in becoming friends, and there was a lot of fun in this new adventure too.
Even after Peter Brand becomes the A's assistant general manager, he remains something of an outsider in the world of baseball, somebody you'd expect to see more on Wall Street than in a clubhouse, don't you think?
Right. I actually asked Paul D. Podesta, who worked for Billy at that time, and I said, you know, you could be a billionaire. And this was a big moment for me understanding who the character was, but I said, you could be, you know, on the stock market. You're such a brilliant guy. You could have made so much money and not had been working in Cleveland for, you know, no money. And he said, I said, why didn't you do that? And he said, I have a lot of friends who did that, and I knew I wouldn't have been happy with the money. I love baseball. And I was able to parallel that to myself as an actor. You know, I'm a really hard worker. I fancy myself an intelligent guy. I probably could have been successful in some other way, but I knew I had to work as an actor. I had to work in movies, and whether I became successful and or not, there's no other version of occupation that I would have been happy doing.
Didn't you have to lose quite a bit of weight to get this part?
No, I lost weight after we shot Moneyball, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
But did you have to campaign for the part, or were you offered it without even knowing that it was going to be made available to you?
Well, it's funny because I've been asked this question a bunch, and when I kept being asked it, people kept saying, well, you know, did you have to campaign because you were known as a comedic actor, and this was the second lead in a big Hollywood drama, and I kept saying, well, I was on the bottom of a laundry list of actors that were probably nominated for Oscars and things people you would expect. And then since, it's just bizarre that now I'm someone who's been nominated for an Oscar for being in a drama, so now there will be some other person who I will be on a list ahead of that will get a part over me. And
or else he'll say, oh, gee, I'm not going to get this part because Jonah Hill is being considered for it.
I just, yeah, I really identify with being that underdog and underdog sensibility of life. And I think the movie was a lot about that. And like you said about the comedy versus the drama stuff, like we were discussing earlier, in comedy, I was no longer an underdog. Because
you've been in a bunch of hit
movies.
I had
been in a bunch of films that were well received and successful. And so to me, it's like, all right, well, what else is out there? How am I the, what would I be an underdog in? And obviously being in dramatic films, I've felt that way. So to get to fight for parts like Moneyball is thrilling to me.
Now, you do have some dramatic scenes, some scenes, for example, I don't know whether it's difficult to act this mm-hmm. kind of thing, but there's a scene where you have to tell a player that he's been traded.
Yeah, that's my favorite scene I've ever shot in a movie.
Although I also like the scene with you and Brad Pitt, and we'll get to that in a moment, where the two of you are working another general manager trying to work out a trade.
Yeah, that scene, those two scenes are the scenes people tend to bring up to me the most from the film. But the scene where I tell a player he's been traded is my favorite scene I've ever shot in a film, and that's because it's maybe a 30 second scene, but I think it's very rare in a movie, especially in a scene that short, where you see a person actually understand the darker side of responsibility and understanding what it's like to grow up in a 30 second period of time. Because up until this point, my character's never had in his life ever had a spotlight shined on him. He's blended into the wall his whole life. And now my character's storyline is about a guy who gets a light shined on him for the first time.
He's been a nerdy, brainy guy who is having fun playing at being in baseball. Now suddenly he has to be an assistant general manager.
And forget about a young, brainy guy, a nerdy, brainy guy, a guy who's 24 years old getting to have all of his ideas executed on the highest possible level for a professional baseball team and any idea he has being executed by the boss.
Well, I there was a time when I was had an early job where I found myself in a supervisory position, mm-hmm. and they said to me, "You're going to have to fire that guy."
Right.
So I don't want to fire anybody.
Right, and it's an excruciating experience because, yeah, it doesn't matter what the job is. That feeling you had to get to express that in a 30-second scene was a great challenge as an actor and really exciting because all of this has been really exciting to my character. But then this moment, he had to understand that his ideas and success were negatively affecting the life of somebody else and having to look them in the eyes and tell them that.
How many of the people who played the ball players were really ball players?
A lot of them. Bennett Miller is incredible with actors.
Because they all acted very well.
The scouts and the baseball players were majority actual scouts and actual baseball players. And that's just a credit to Bennett being able to get raw performances out of a lot of non-actors. You know,
I understand that the film has brought you some unusual perks. You were made an honorary member of the Harvard Lampoon.
Yes, that was really, really a great evening.
Was that more exciting than doing Saturday Night Live or doing a guest star appearance in an episode of The Simpsons?
I think all of those things. You know, what's fascinating was all of that was a culmination of result of the comedic success that I've had as a young man, and all of those were to me the benchmarks of a successful comedic film career. And then, you know, they were just, all of them were completely joyous and celebratory. And then what's fascinating is now these different kind of benchmarks as a, you know, like all of this awards hoopla or whatever you would call it is another, those are benchmarks of a different element to a career.
Well, the first benchmark was landing a part in I Heart Huckabees.
Well, that's the ultimate benchmark for an actor is getting your first gig.
How did that happen? Because I've heard that you didn't know that you wanted to be an actor until you were 18. Mm-hmm. But you grew up near Hollywood, didn't you?
Yeah, I grew up in Los Angeles, and I went to high school with, you know, people whose parents were studio heads and actors and things like this.
And then some of them were future actors as well.
And some of them ended up becoming actors and executives and things like that. And I didn't know if I wanted. So that world didn't impress. It wasn't like a shock to me because I had seen that these people were actual people and just like anybody else, and any trade seemed just as interesting as the next. But as a kid, I thought, oh, I really like telling stories. I really love that element of life and creativity and writing. So to me, being a writer seemed like the logical way to express my creativity. And I was young enough to not really think of a trade.
So you moved to New York instead of people moved to Hollywood,
right,
to get into the movies.
Right.
You moved to New York.
I moved to New York and I wanted to be a playwright. I wanted to learn how to write for theater and write for film and television, but I didn't want to be in the Hollywood machine. That wasn't a part of my thought process at that time. And I went to New School out here, which I had a lovely experience at, and studied acting as a way to learn how to speak to actors as a playwright. I wanted to learn how to give direction to actors, which I was poor at that time. And so when I took those classes, I was like, wow, this is really something. I feel free here and excited, and I was getting great feedback from my teachers and things like that. And I was like, oh, this is interesting. But I never once was like, this is going to be my occupation. And I started putting on these plays, and people started coming to them and enjoying them. And I would make these prank phone call CDs for friends. I really loved the improvisational experience of, you know, calling someone and having to play a character. And that to me was the greatest acting exercise. If I had to prepare a character for a play, I would call a real person and use that as the way to be in character without the other person knowing, which now I realize is not the nicest thing in the entire world. But as an 18-year-old, I didn't see the negative side of that. But that's how I would work out a character. And I still do it sometimes. I will call up a place as the character I'm going to play for a movie and try and put myself in a real life situation where I don't have words in front of me.
Could you do that here in this film, Moneyball?
Yeah, I did it for Moneyball. I would call up and order things and talk to people at Best Buy and, you know, just try and be, and it wasn't always funny, just was to try and understand how that character navigated through life. And obviously I'm recognizable, so I couldn't walk in somewhere and do it. But if I'm over the phone, I can use that technique. So I think it's an unusual acting technique, but it works for me.
So you wrote. Are any of those plays outside of a drawer in these days?
No. But you know what? That might be fun to put some of them up. They were all one acts.
And then after I Heart Huckabees, you were in The 40-Year-Old Virgin, mm-hmm. which was Judd Apatow's first film.
Yes.
So you're all learning how to do this all together.
Yeah, and Judd is a beautiful figure in my life and someone who is still close to me to this day. And, you know, I think with myself and a group of other actors who are well known, all got our springboard from Judd's projects. And I think he saw the excitement of being around youth and people, you know, getting to inform his work with what we were all living at that time as well. You know, we were young guys and he was making movies about young guys. And I think, you know, when I watched a lot of the Cassavetes movies, also it feels like you're just hanging out with them. And I think that when I watched Judd's early movies and stuff, I really get the same feeling where you just...
Well, Cassavetes, there was a lot of improv.
Yes, and these movies were a tremendous amount of improvisation.
But well, not in Moneyball, I suspect. I suspect you just had to do the lines that you were given.
Well, both. I mean, there were circumstances with both. You know, obviously when you have Aaron Sorkin and Steve Zaillian, who are arguably the two best screenwriters working today, writing your script, you don't want to be disrespectful and throw away their lines. But Bennett Miller, you know, encourages, you know, to find real moments and things like that.
Jonah Hill stars as Peter Brand in Moneyball. He's been nominated for an Academy Award for Best Supporting Actor for his performance, and Moneyball has now been made available in both Blu-ray and DVD.
Combo pack.
And I want to thank you so much for coming by to talk about it.
Thank you. It was lovely speaking with you.